Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor in a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning out there. It's going to get really hot later on today, but for right now, get on out. I'm going to go jogging in a little while and do some stuff. Joining us right now, Bruce Harrison, NBC 26, Neighborhood Focus Executive Reporter. I'm sorry, Jim, you have something
to say. I was just going to say, we're talking today, Bruce, about science, and Johnny, we had these people on from the Einstein Project, and Johnny's talking about what a great scientist he is, and then and so when he starts talking about his jogging, it's the same venue of BS.
Pay no attention to him, Bruce.
I didn't laugh. I was just being polite.
Thank you.
You're one of those he's the executive reporter. He's not like this, man on the street, on the street. This guy's the executive reporter, so he's much more professional. So when you said that about jogging.
Way to kick all the other reporters under the bus.
We're all professionals, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Hey, welcome. We're glad you're here, Bruce. NBC 26, not new, but one of the different approaches to news in our community. And you said you were attracted to move here to Green Bay because of the different, we would call that distribution, but that I don't know what the word is for it. But the way you gather your information is different than the traditional anchor desk.
Yeah, I mean, look at the size of Northeast Wisconsin and the patch that we have to cover. Our viewership's huge, from Fond du Lac all the way up to the tip of
Marinette,
Door County. Marinette,
Door County, Sheboygan.
Yeah. So you get a million people out there.
There's a lot of folks out there.
Right.
And for years and years and years, I think the coverage was centrally focused on the Green Bay and the Fox Valley as well. So now we've got folks living and working in these communities. I was a reporter for nearly 15 years and never thought I would step aside and, kill me before I stop. I told people they'll never get me to stop. But here I am trying this model. And honestly, it's just incredible.
Well, the thing is, we've talked about this before when we've had some of your reporters on, and Jim even saw it firsthand. I mean, myself as a young reporter going to a Twin Falls, Idaho, a Tucson, a Flint, Michigan, where you don't know anybody. Yeah. And it takes about 6 months just to know your way around town and to get to know these people. And Jim, you said you'd get these young reporters come in. They didn't know anything about you, didn't know anything about Green Bay. They might be covering you today. Like I said, the mayor of Ocano Falls tomorrow, somebody in Fond du Lac the next day. Yeah. Pretty tough to really get a feel for it. So even for the professional people around here that are getting interviewed, it's a bonus.
Because you establish that trust.
I think so, yeah.
And all you're hearing on these conventions right now is, your sources. What are your sources telling you? And that is kind of a way of developing, maybe there's a better term, but sources.
Sure. And I mean, it's no secret. Not everybody who comes here, young reporters, going to stay their entire career. But if they are focused on that patch, if you are in Manitowoc every day, if you are in Fond du Lac every day, if you are in Oshkosh every day, it's only natural that you're going to encounter the movers, the shakers, the players in those communities on a consistent basis. And that trust does form. And then they start coming to you. And then you're getting that text ding.
Just get a feel for the community. Because every community isn't the same.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? People, they call us flyover territory. They say, look, the Midwest is the Midwest. But it is kind of cool when you look at Fond du Lac, Manitowoc, Green Bay. They're three different communities.
Oh, yeah. Distinct communities. And they all want to be represented. They all want to have their voice on the air. And I think we're giving those people an opportunity, our neighbors in those communities. And the feedback's been positive. And my job's pretty sweet. I get to cruise around Northeast Wisconsin, meet my reporters in all these different beautiful places. I get up to Door County. I get onto the lake shore. It's great. It's really great.
And there's always something going on, too. I think sometimes you got to look a little bit, but even when you're a reporter on from Fond du Lac, it's no secret that, that Marinette Marine is, they're facing some challenges. And she, knows about that maybe more than somebody who would be at an anchor desk in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. And I think you make a really, really good point is once a mover and shaker, as you put it, they can actually reach out to you.
Yeah, no, that's energy. It just starts and it kind of snowballs. Yeah, no, Margaret broke, if not one, two stories on the layoffs down there at Mercury. And that's just a tribute to merit, based on what she's doing down there.
But I think it's another thing as far as with that, and it's kind of like what Jim said, and you guys both said about your contacts, but the number one absolute. If you don't have a certain thing, it doesn't matter how friendly you are, how whatever, send them birthday cards, do whatever. If that trust factor isn't there, everything else goes right out the window.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's true. And I think it goes both ways. And it's not just about being polite and nice. We need to be polite and nice, but we also need to be hard and firm. And I think the folks on the other side of the mic will gain trust if you actually kind of hold it to them a bit.
Right, Jim?
It's respect.
You've respected that.
I absolutely. And I just.
Because you know they're taking it serious then.
Yeah. I mean, people.
Not wasting your time.
And time is, nobody has any time, right? You guys are under the clock. We're under the, people that you're interviewing are usually under the clock. We had your reporter on, who I really found him interesting. He didn't really cover the city as much as he does, like, Ashwaubenon, Green Bay.
Yeah, Carl Winter.
Yeah, and you were just talking about dealing with the Packers. And I kind of said to him, you know, my experience dealing with the Packers when I first started is like dealing with the mafia. You know, it's just, it's hard to get information, but he really seems to have developed a relationship in that neck of the woods.
He certainly does, and he has a solid beat right now of uncovering all the businesses they're buying in the area.
Yeah.
And I think some of those tips are coming to him at this point too. And people want to know about that, those sales. They want to know how Packerland is expanding. It's fascinating.
Right. Speaking of which, I didn't realize they were tearing down houses on Stadium Drive. I just saw that. What are they putting there? Do you know?
Well, you'd have to ask the reporter.
You know, that's for Carl to know until it makes the air. Yeah, so.
You know more than anybody.
I'm not used to. But I think that's cool to get a little deeper into the story. I mean, you can drive by and say, oh, look, this is going on. But to get it a day ahead or to get it a little bit more detailed, I think people appreciate that.
I think it's going really well, and I think the community's responded really positively. And full steam ahead. It's a fun initiative. It's a fun experiment to be part of that's not going to go away.
What do people, your young reporters that come here, don't even have to be young, but when they come to the Green Bay, Northeast Wisconsin area, and they might be from, like yourself, you know, Southernish Illinois or different places, well, what's their overall feel for the area?
That's a good question.
Because when I had my first job in Twin Falls, Idaho, I never really experienced, like, ranchers and very crazy conservative and it's like, oh, I've read or seen it, but I've never lived amongst people. And there are a whole lots of Mormon, and it's like I'm in a little bit of a different world outside my comfort zone.
But Bruce, I would ask you even before, how do they like it here? Like, how do you get them here?
How do we get them here? I mean, I'm a big part of the interview process, and it's fun to sell this model and say, guess what? We're going to give you all the equipment you need. You're going to have a coach and mentor built into the station. That's me. You know, I'm going to be in the field. I'm going to be in the building working with you day in, day out to make your journalism better. You're going to get a day once a week to just network in your community. That's a huge selling point.
I think that's a great idea.
And that's something new in the industry for, I guess you could call real-time or day-turn reporters. Obviously, there's folks working in the feature space.
Yeah.
But for our model where everyone gets one, I think that's really attractive. And for those that really are serious about their journalism, I think this is just a model that works for them and they come.
And I think all businesses need to look at that. You know, we did, as mayor schools, we would go to look at companies that, attracting talent is a challenge for everybody, whether you're in the media, manufacturing, packaging, whatever. And some of the work environments need to be more modern. Like you go to some of these places like Warby Parker and some of these places down in Nashville. I mean, it's crazy. There's snacks out all day. Nothing that Johnny and I would eat, but you know, like sunflower seeds, carrots, all that healthy stuff. Why memberships that are part of it, or their health club on campus, but a lot of it is, you know, Uber to work and back every day that they'll pay for. Just really cool, like creative things. And like your creative model, I think is what is the biggest thing you got going.
I think we've created a healthy working space. And I think with that day, they get that breathing room to help network in their communities. And, we pay competitively. Scripps believes in giving journalists a good living.
I was at a seminar a couple of years ago with like the big wheeler dealers of Fox Cities and Green Bay. And it was all on keeping employees. That was the main focus.
Every 10
And chance. We're talking about, you know, Fortune 500 type things where they're having. And they said, forget about just trying to buy workers anymore.
Yeah.
Where you give them $2 more an hour. Forget that. You got to start looking into, their kids' soccer schedule. How do I work around that so that's not a problem?
Work
life. All these other things are so much. And some of these guys are like, nah, I'm not, you know what, if they don't want to. Well, okay, good luck then, buddy, because you're not hiring for 1974 anymore. This is an entirely different world. So you guys look into that too, don't you?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, it's a balance across the board. It's making sure that folks have a life outside of the job while still doing the job hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay that the good employees, the creative employees, ask for those things. Like Johnny said, you know, I want a more flexible work schedule. And this doesn't really have to do with the media, but I just want to make a general statement. These they're kids today, that they really want to work for a company that gives back more. I don't think that was our top priority when I was
not
their
at
age.
All.
Yeah,
no, not even a little bit.
My first job, even I didn't have PTO. I had to earn it after the first year.
Yeah.
We just have a lot of room to grow upward through our stations.
But they want to work for a company that, you know,
appreciates them.
But what I'm saying now, and it's bigger than that. It's where they give so much of their profits to, Africa, or they to the Einstein Project, and they want to be part of that bigger picture as well, besides just the entity they're working for.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's about giving back to the community, not just through the journalism, but through other goodwill.
Right. Quick question here. Anything coming up with the Olympics locally?
We got a lot going on. Obviously, the games are on NBC. We're very excited. We're going to have a lot of eyes, and we're cooking up some nice stories. They're going to air during that period that I think the viewers are really going to enjoy from all across Northeast Wisconsin. Some really good stuff.
I talked to Brandon. He's going to be coming up. Brandon Kinnard here. I said I'd go to Brazil for you guys.
Yeah, said I would go too, John.
Yeah, sure. You and me, Jim and I are going to go to Brazil for you guys.
Convince management to bring these guys.
Bruce, yeah, but Bruce, don't let him do that. You don't want to do that, Bruce.
Okay, I don't want to be on a plane with these guys.
We do have some Olympic medalists in this community.
Certainly, yeah.
So maybe to get them back on that, who was that? You knew her, that girl, that kayaker?
That was like 20 years ago. Though.
Big deal. I think the Olympics are the Olympics.
We got some lines in for some, former 20, Olympians and
25 years ago. Jim, you're living in the past. They got this Favre quarterback and a new hole.
Oh, okay.
A new coach.
Oh, gee.
Holmgren. They got this new Holmgren. Look out for this guy. I'll tell you what, Jerry. By golly.
Oh, come
on. We're renaming a street after Holmgren Way.
Give me a break. You guys are always going back to the historical players. I'm just saying these Olympics that they're from market. I think it's cool to interview them. How was it back then? It's the same thing today. It's an Olympic gold medalist.
Right. You don't have to yell in front of me. Hey, great having you here.
Thanks,
great
guys.
Work. Love what you guys
keep
are
doing. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. We'll be back with more. Brandon Kinnard will be joining us. Talk about the WIAA and some major changes. Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Great having Bruce Harrison, NBC 26 Neighborhood Focus Executive Reporter. Had some great guests again today. Dennis Rockhill and Kim Lemberger from the Einstein Project. Tim Struby, who I can't wait till we talk to him again in regards to all mafia stories that he's done.
I want to find that.
That's going to be really, really interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
Why are we playing Roy? I love Roy Orbison, by the way. He was at the Carlton. Why
I don't know.
I just, that's great music.
Oh, and Roy Orbison, I didn't know if, I think one of the greatest voices of all time.
Yeah, he.
Of all time.
He, I would agree. I just was, Todd is saying goodbye to our guest or bringing in our
guest. Did you see, oh my God, Todd.
What?
Did you see excerpts of the girl who sang the national anthem at the Home Run Derby?
It was Ingrid Andress.
What? I've never heard of her. I guess she's country?
She's a country star. Yep. I actually like some of her stuff.
Didn't see it. What?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you hear it?
No.
What happened? Can you play it, Todd? Do you have it?
I'll see if I can find it. It's pretty brutal.
It's Terry. She was trying some new style, and it came off like an eighth grader at a recital for the parents, or didn't it, Todd?
It was not good. It literally was. I'm working on
it
right now.
It was cringy.
Yeah.
Oh. Like you felt bad for her, but also, what are you doing? Wow. You're a professional singer?
That's one of those songs, unless you're really, really good, unless you're Whitney Houston or you are Aretha Franklin, you go out there and you just sing it.
Just sing it. She tried adding her own flair or style to it, and it just didn't come off.
The only thing
came off like flat and just weird.
Yeah. The only thing you get away with the national anthem is to, because you really want to time it to the flyover, or else like my brother has sang that, and they cut away. You know,
Here, listen. Hang on. It gets worse. Doesn't start off so bad.
The ramparts we watched.
Just wait.
Wow.
We're so gallantly streaming. And the rockets spread glare. The bombs
Oh, my God.
I mean, hate to say it, sounds like a drunk girl at karaoke.
No, that is, that's what I was going to say. Well, career's over.
Home run derby. Isn't that
that's awful.
Terrible.
Here's the thing. Again, I want to feel bad for her, you know, because that's not an easy song to do. But again, it's not something
But she tried to do her own thing.
Well, it wasn't like it was new. I mean, she knew it. That if she can't sing it, she shouldn't sing it. That is, I'll give you that. It's four octaves in that. That's a tough, tough song.
Absolutely.
People have said they wanted to change it just to make it easier to sing. But
doesn't
that's
she
never
sound like she's drunk at like a karaoke type thing?
I've heard some better karaoke.
Oh, no question. To me, that sounds like it's her first time singing it. It sounds like a really super amateur. Like, but that is.
But you know how you said that I have an issue because in my mind I sound beautiful. I sound spectacular.
Yeah,
I
very
sound like
dangerous.
Velvet. I sound like.
Yep. I know.
To me, when I sing, I sound like the greatest singer there's ever been.
Yeah. The Velvet Gravel is what he sounds
velvet
like.
Velvet Gravel. Yeah. And I almost wonder if she had that thing last night where she was thinking, wow, I'm killing this. I am killing it.
I was listening to the crowd, though. Didn't they?
They were like murmuring.
Yeah, I know. That didn't sound like
they were
on board.
And they were showing some of the players. They were like looking around like, what is this?
Boy, it's unfortunate. I hope it doesn't affect her career only because there are people out there who have done much worse things and have kept their careers, especially in country music.
Yeah.
But my goodness.
But maybe
that's as bad as I've ever heard. Have you ever heard worse?
I just got a text. What are you guys playing? What's going on with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so. I've heard worse. And I've heard that.
I mean,
lot.
Maybe it was the Roseanne Barr who was just an idiot that day.
Well, that was
just
more
stupid.
She was just doing that to. That didn't work out too well for her.
No, I think that really damaged her career for a long time.
Well, she's back now with a vengeance. So
is she? But I think for somebody that's. Wasn't trying to goof around. That's as bad as I've ever heard. Although, remember, Todd, the Olympic gold medalist, long jump gold medalist, huge name in the Olympics, and he sang it one time, and he forgot the words halfway through. Oh, Todd, try to find that one.
All right.
Please try to find that one. I can't think of his name.
Well, that happened right here at Lambeau Field.
Well, it was our buddy.
I know. I'd say that's not impossible to forget.
We're not going to mention that.
No, it's not impossible to forget the words. I think you get nervous.
Absolutely.
But, they usually put them up on a jumbo track.
Yeah, I have some 7th and 8th graders that can crush that song by comparison. I agree.
It sounds like that was the first time she sang it. I can't believe she thought she was killing it.
She's a recording artist. I mean, she's, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who... Well, maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe I don't know if she was on something. I don't, but it's not like an old guy. Well, she was probably on. She was on something.
Those kids are all on drugs. Every damn one of them. Carl Lewis.
Was it Carl Lewis?
Yeah, do you have that?
1993. I'm looking for it.
Okay, Carl Lewis, 1993.
Don't they vet these people? Like, let's hear you?
Well, I would imagine if you can get a top 10 song on Billboard.
You don't ask them for
what more do you need to
rendition?
Yeah.
That is a hard song, though, but.
I think I would still listen to Whitney Houston's just like for the sake of listening to a song. Oh, I get goosebumps every time I hear her.
That was absolutely
unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That is
did the girl that played Whitney Houston sing that the other night? No. Okay.
No, I didn't.
All right.
I had to leave.
Okay.
Of course you did. I did. I had to go pick up my kids. So
Was the Gulf event. By the way, I just want to say something. Congratulations to everybody from NEW Community Shelter. We helped host their golf tournament yesterday.
Yeah, that's fun.
Wonderfully well organized. Tremendously well organized. And you know what? Every person that came through was nice and friendly and amiable. And because I've been on. You got it, Todd, real quick? Oh, that's stupid. Okay.
Johnny and I have worked golf tournaments.
A million
of them. And I want to say that, of course, I work for NEW Community Shelter. But the foursomes that came through were like happy to support.
Nicest
they were happy
people
to be there. Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yeah, that was
to a man or woman.
Thanks
nicest
for helping
group
out.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
all right, guys, check this out.
Okay.
Oh my.
Oh, say can you see? And the Rockets.
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
Uh-oh. I'll make up for it now. For the land of the free.
Listen to the crowd.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Carl wow Lewis, Olympic champion.
That do him in? Was he
for a singing career?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I think because that is such a difficult song, I think you should have to like what is that, American Idol, like sing in front of a three people.
Right, you have to be approved.
You have to be approved.
You're saying? Yeah.
Yep. By a team, not just one guy, because one guy might say, "Ah, okay, I know you. Are you kidding? You got a Grammy. You can sing." But not everybody can sing that song.
This person can.
This. Listen to this.
She like sings it with pride. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she's proud to be singing this song.
Right on.
Love Whitney Houston. We got to spend our quick break. Brandon Kinnard, NBC 26 sports director, talking about the WIA and the big changes they are making. Back after this. Who's brought
stripes? Mino and the Mayor, you can watch the show live right now on Facebook. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. We're still talking some sports with NBC 26 sports director Brandon Kinnard. Brandon, you've been to a million ball games. You've seen a million ball games. Have you ever seen a worse rendition of the national anthem than last night?
That one probably has to take the cake. I didn't see it live, but you can't miss it on social media.
Yeah. Wow.
It's everywhere.
Unbelievable.
Brandon, that, you know, of course, I think we're all patriots, but that would just put me in a bad mood for the event. To me, that borderlines on disrespect, but I'm probably, you know, overreacting to this, but there's so many good singers out there that have practiced and, you know, there's barbershop quartets that can sing this. There's individuals, there's duos, there's acoustic guitars. And to get something like that, there's got to be a vetting committee. Like, you know, Brandon, you got to give the green light before they go out there and sing. Somebody has to.
I've sung the national anthem at games before. I'm not saying I should do it at a nationally televised event, but, you know, I did it traditionally.
You know, I'll tell you one of your other.
I didn't know that.
No, one of your other buddies that did that was, remember Mike Counter?
Sure.
Him and his brother, actually his brother's pretty famous. Those guys would sing the national anthem a lot. They're from your neck of the woods. They're from the
like
UP.
Florence-ish.
Yeah.
Right over the border from the UP. Yeah.
Anyway, and those guys were great. I've seen those guys sing a number of times, but I didn't know you did that, Brandon. I didn't either.
I'm talking high school, half a lifetime ago. I used to do it every once in a while back then. I'm retired from okay, musical performing now.
I don't know. I think we're going to recruit you. Yeah. We're going to start a movement.
Absolutely. Hey, Brandon, I was telling Jim about the WIAA, a very controversial thing in regards to the more success you have, it's on a weighted scale, and there's a chance that you could be moved up into a different classification, no matter what your enrollment is, if you have, I hate to say it, too much success. Could you explain that a little bit better?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's called the competitive balance performance factor. So this dates back to a decade ago. If you guys remember, there were talks of a private school multiplier. Basically, essentially, if you are a private school because you have certain advantages, you get X amount of points multiplied to your enrollment, and then you might move up a division. This kind of was born from that, and the WIAA got a committee together, looked at a number of different things, and instead of just doing a blanket multiplier on private schools, it eventually extended to all schools, because really, when you think about it now, with so many schools having open enrollment, it's no longer private schools that have those quote-unquote recruiting advantages. Whether that's true or not, obviously people have their opinions on that. Every school kind of has that advantage now, or many of them at least, with open enrollment. And I think we see that around the area, where certain dominant programs stay dominant because people from other districts want to go play for those sports programs. So what the WIAA has done, and like you mentioned, John, I did a story on this last week at NBC 26, is a point system. So basically you get 4 points for a state championship, 3 for a state runner-up finish, 2 for a state semifinal appearance, 1 for a state quarterfinal appearance. If you accumulate 6 or more points over a 3-year window, then you would move up a division. So now we're seeing schools like Brilliant Boys Basketball, for example, which won a state title 2 years ago, graduated a great senior class, and didn't even make it out of the regional last year. They're moving up from Division 3 to Division 2 as a school with just over 300 kids. They're going to be playing against schools like Ashwaubenon and West Apeer, which have about 1,000 kids. Now, that's only for the postseason. This doesn't change your regular season, your conferences, but when you get to the playoffs, the regionals, the sectionals, maybe state, these are the size schools that now a school like Brilliant, to use them as an example, is going to be competing against.
Or Green Bay Notre Dame basketball, women.
Yep. The girls basketball at for the Tritons, as many know, has had great success. They won 3 state titles, then finished runner-up last year. They are well over that 6-point threshold that I mentioned. And, they are moving up from Division 2 to Division 1. So similar for them, really, when you look at the enrollment size, they typically have 700 to 800 students at Notre Dame, now in Division 1 playing schools like, you know, Nina, Appleton North,
Kimberly,
those size schools that have many of them close to 2,000 students.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of agree with that.
Let me just say this, Jim. I'm going to debate this with you a little bit. Man. And I understand what you're talking about. And Brandon, we won't do it, but we know of school systems that really, really do a nice job of skirting the enrollment rules to stay into certain classifications, or at least we've heard rumors of and some of the things they do. Okay, so I understand that aspect of it, where they want to stay where they are and dominate, but it really hurts. Like, let's say a school like a Brilliant, who, you know, for some reason you get a couple of classes back to back where you just got a bunch of athletes. And then it goes back down to the, you know, normal. But those are the kids, then they get punished. Do you see what I'm saying, Brandon?
That's one of trust me, when I did the story, I talked to multiple people. I talked to the coaches at schools involved, ADs at schools involved. I talked with Stephanie Hauser, the executive director of the WIAA. That is a concern that everyone has with this, is that I think Brilliant's a perfect example for it. I mean, they've had a good boys basketball program there for a long time. But that class of 2023 that they had, led by Jeremy Lorenz, who's now playing Division I college basketball, that was a special, special class for a school that size. And that is something that everyone I spoke with is concerned about. And Stephanie Hauser herself said, hey, this might not be a perfect system. It's going to be tweaked along the way. So she said this is kind of a big year to get some data and see how this works. And then I think we're going to see maybe some tweaks to the point system. As I mentioned, again, there's that 6-point threshold that if you get above that, then you have to move up. We might see some tweaks to the point system. We might see a longer window than 3 years, maybe extended to 4 years, 5 years, because then you get a larger sample size of, is this program really that consistently good? Or did they just have a great class, a great stretch here that caused them to go over the 6 points?
We're with Brandon Kennard, NBC 26 sports director.
Yeah, but you got to admit, Brandon, something needs to happen. Maybe sometimes people overreact, but you got to admit, something needs to happen, right? You don't want this domination in high school? I mean, don't you think everybody should be competitive, have an opportunity to be competitive, learn how to win, learn how to lose?
I do. I'm going to refrain from taking a side.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
I mean, I see both sides of it. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, I just don't think that this is the way that high school sports should be. This is about learning. This is about competing. We can't show kids that they're going to be punished for, you know, having previous success. And then on the other side, you see it as, well, it's the same teams every year, right? So if those teams are really that good, then, yeah, move them up a division and give some other schools a chance to compete. So I absolutely see both sides. I've been around high school sports for a long time. I mean, my gut would say, yes, you know, something needs to be done. But at the same time, is this the perfect system? I don't think it's a perfect system. There probably is no perfect system, but at least they're trying something and they're being transparent about it and explaining why and explaining there's going to be tweaks as we learn more. And I think that's all you can do obviously, Jim, with your background in politics, that's kind of the way it goes. You just, sometimes you have to see how something goes and then be willing to be flexible. Right.
But I tell you, but you got to try stuff. Not everything works, but if exactly. You don't try stuff, you're just going backwards. So I don't know. I don't know nearly as much about this as you and Johnny do, but, you know, I think high school is so much more than domination. You know, I just think, and I was telling John, you know, I like all the schools, but we went to that Notre Dame game, and Notre Dame's what, you said 750, 800 kids. And of course, you know, West is probably what, 1200, 1300 kids. And, you know, it was 63-8. I mean, we didn't even stay for the whole game, you know, just because the school size doesn't necessarily equate to the talent. So I just think something needs to be done.
Well, let me ask you this though, Brandon, I hadn't really thought of, but what if you are in the top division and you win 3 state championships in a row? How do you get punished?
That's another concern with it is you don't. Yeah. There's at this point in the system that nothing happens to the Division I schools that meet that threshold. And there are a lot of them. Just to think of a few around the area, DePere boys basketball, I think, has hit the 6 points. Kimberly football has hit the 6 points. You know, John, the programs you'd think of, the ones that have had extreme next level success over the last 3 years. And right now that's an issue, is that really the only punishment they might get is that you've got some of those better Division II programs moving up that you now have to compete with. But I think that's a concern as well. Is there a way that we can maybe look at some of these Division I programs that have all this success? Because right now there's nothing in there really to move them up.
Oh, I don't know about that. I look, there's nothing wrong with winning.
Them would be punished for winning too much. But in Division I, you can't make them go play JUCOs or D3 college schools.
Exactly. Yeah. That's okay. You are the king of the hill. But you've gone up the hill.
Well, if you're Division III,
right,
and you have a great run, you win, you know, you go
move up.
You, like, yeah.
Division II.
Right. But if you're Division I, you can win 10 years in a row and nothing happens to you.
Yeah.
But is that fair?
Where are you going to go?
What I mean. So is this a fair thing to do then, where everybody below Division I has the potential to be punished, for lack of better word?
Not punished.
But Division I doesn't.
Division I.
We're using the word punished a lot here.
That's not the word.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if Division I, if you're... What are some options? There aren't any. You're there. It's like the NFL.
But then it's two separate rules. You got rules for Division I, and then you got rules for all the other divisions.
I don't totally agree with that. But, okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Jim
just
likes winners is what he's saying, basically. It's simple.
But as long as you win it all, and that's winning it all, right? You've gone through Division III, Division II, Division I. You're in the biggest schools, and you're dominating. That's awesome. I mean, you deserve to get the trophy.
But why don't
I don't know if we're talking about the schools that have gone up. We're talking about the larger enrollment schools
that are already there. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So that's really where the question, I think, on this is currently at. And I didn't get any indication that they really have an answer for that. I'm not sure that there is one.
Right.
Not with this formula, there isn't, really.
Right.
No.
Play a college team. You know what I mean?
That's like, I know, but yeah. I'm just saying, it's like I could see where some of these other division schools would be like, well, wait a minute. What's the protocol for Division I? Oh, nothing. They can win as much as they want, but we can't in the lower divisions. They've got a point.
Yeah.
Don't you agree, Brandon?
He's not taking a side.
I was floored at the amount of conversation that this generated when it posted on the NBC 26 Facebook page. I mean, it got people talking. It's a controversial, polarizing subject that, like I've mentioned, something like this has been in the works or discussed for over a decade now. And this upcoming year, it finally goes into place. And we're going to learn a lot more about some of these programs and whether or not this is the right system. So as someone who covers and closely follows high school sports in Wisconsin and has for, you know, more or less two decades, going back to when I was a kid paying attention and watching high school sports and playing high school sports, I'm interested. I'm very curious to see how it goes.
One last quick thing. When's our Sports Showdown Reveal show?
Next Thursday, the 25th.
Okay.
6:30 on NBC 26.
Do you want to come on Thursday or Friday to talk about it?
Let's do Friday.
Okay.
Let's recap it once it's released.
We're at EAA on Thursday.
Okay, so we'll talk Friday.
Friday would be great.
Awesome.
26. All right. Hey, Olympics start around then, too.
Yeah. I know.
All right, so NBC 26th on the 26th.
Oh, we just
I'm reminding myself how busy I'm going
to
be.
Yeah. Are you guys still talking about sending me to Brazil?
Are we talking about, what did you say that?
Are you guys still talking about me going to Brazil?
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about
one-way ticket.
Right.
Just got from my passport.
We're talking about it. We'll get back to you.
It's a great idea. Brandon Kennard, NBC 26. Keep up the great work, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys.
You got it, brother. See you. We'll be back with more Mind on the Mirror right after this.
Okay, that you're picking up on that singer,
Ingrid Andress over there.
I'm just saying that I've got, you know, in my mind, I sound spectacular.
Yeah,
maybe she did too.
That's what I mean.
It's a sickness. Yeah,
Todd, tell us about some tickets available.
So, Ace Champion, Good Buffalo. Yeah, we had him on yesterday. He's going to be at the Malva Center, Cultural Center in De Pere, and it's coming up this Saturday from 1 until 3 o'clock. And we have got tickets for his Vibrations of the Earth concert.
When I sit next to him here, and he makes those sounds come out of these things that he brings in, it's awe-inspiring.
His energy is really cool, isn't it?
He kind of dresses the part, and he's a good, I don't want to say he's an entertainer, he's a good educator. And
you're right.
People can learn from that. And he said it's not just for kids, it's for families. And for him to, and he sounds like he's going to have not just the music and but he's going to have some photos in the background, kind of tying you back to that culture.
But for him to have, like, that one thing, I had no idea what that one, it looked almost like a beehive, upside down beehive or whatever. And he said that was like based on what, 9,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago in China. And that's what they used for. And he was recreating those exact same sounds right there. Amazing stuff, wasn't it?
You know, I can tell you that this concert's going to be great because I came in yesterday. I had a lot of negativity in me, and listening to him, it melted.
Isn't it something?
It melted away.
Yeah. I wish it worked on Jim.
It's pretty hard shield.
Need to hire him here. But we've got a quiz online on our Facebook page. Right. Search for Mino and the Mayor, and it'll be right there. The question that we have online, and it doesn't matter if you get it right or not, you still qualify to win the tickets. We've got several pair to give away. How many varieties of flute has Good Buffalo played?
Wow.
All right. And here are the choices. A, 28. B, 42. C-50, D-35.
And for a bonus, how many has White Buffalo played.
White Buffalo being John Mino. Yeah. Luckily,
well,
for
he
us.
Gave me the name.
So yes, he did.
Yeah, I think that's impressive.
Yeah.
Call me that from now. Call me WB. Call me White Buff. White Buff. Can you do that?
It's your rapper name.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What I thought was funny, so he brings in this, like Johnny said, upside down, quite heavy too. And it's the.
Made of clay, right?
Clay, yeah. 10,000. And I'm like, wow, yeah. That's unbelievable. Where'd you get that? Amazon.
I know.
But yeah. It took them out. What? They didn't go find it or make but it or whatever. It's pretty cool stuff.
I just. The sounds he can make out of things are incredible. It was so haunting, a couple of the things he played yesterday.
The beginning stuff was cool. Yeah.
So he and I did kick the tires around about a performance thing we want to do.
That would be great.
Yeah. With veterans.
Oh, you know, man, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
You take that, and I just love that whole local talent, bringing 2-3 different entities together and making something. You know, that's where, you know, 1 + 1 = 3. It just, that's going to be cool to see you two guys work on that. I hope that works.
I'm looking forward to it.
I want a piece of it.
So of course you do. Want a piece of everything.
See, that's why he'd be the mafia accountant.
That's right. That's right.
The mafia accountant, he always gets a slice. They always call it a slice. Hey, I don't really, you know what I mean?
I want the juice.
Hey, let me tell you something, okay? I'm just saying this, Johnny. Hey, let me tell you. I'm not going to dip my beak in it, okay? I'm not going to dip my beak, but a little slice for respect for what I do for you, that wouldn't be such a bad thing. Just put an envelope, lay it right there. I'll put the newspaper on it. Nobody needs to know nothing. All right? A little something, Johnny Buff.
Grab a meatball on the way out.
Yeah, right? Have a little something here.
Yeah. So go to our Facebook page for your chance to win that. And then we've been waiting for it. A brand new Tuesday Travels is on Facebook today, and it's the one featuring you guys at the Grand Opera House.
Oh,
that was fun.
And
very cool. Very
also,
cool.
If you're not a Facebook person, you do have a chance to win and answer the quiz on our Instagram, which is WGBW979.
Nice. Thank you very much.
And what if we're not Instagram or Facebook?
Then, Jim, get with the times.
Send me a letter. I still don't have Instagram figured out either.
I don't.
So.
But here's the thing we know. Jim does have Facebook. He just has an alter ego on Facebook.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Yeah.
That is true. That is true. Thank you for telling everybody that, Todd.
White
buff. But I think we need to.
That's mine.
Hey, a Tuesday travel, though. We got to talk about this, the four of us.
Oh, it's so good, you guys.
No, but I can't wait.
That. Cherry picking. We should do that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. John, you can do that.
Nope.
You have to get on a ladder.
He's just trying to get us out there to pick cherries
just
for him.
Just to pick cherries.
Right. Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do.
You know what, Jim? I was going to be a migrant worker one time, and then I gave it up. Yeah. I was.
Well, that was big.
I'm not kidding. In Arizona. You could work with my, because I was going to summer school there. And was it lettuce or something? And a guy offered me a job because he'd rent out his things. But I worked in his orange grove instead. And that was a tough enough job.
Oranges?
Well, I had to clean out an orange grove. I had to be on my hands and knees. And because the grass grows about 5 feet high during the winter. So you have to roll it up on your hands and knees. 114 degrees. No lie. I'm not trying war stories. Rolling this stuff up. You'd hear rattlesnakes and stuff like that. You'd hear them rattling and things in the bush. So I literally was going to work, though, with the migrants picking cabbage. And I'm not lying about that.
I
was going to go on from. No, it was in Phoenix. From Phoenix to Yuma.
Why wouldn't. Okay.
The money wasn't bad for a college kid. Yeah. I'm being honest.
We had plenty of that here. You could pick cabbage here.
I was living in Arizona, Jim.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Okay. I was making $2 an hour as it was, okay?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but those guys were really good. You ever watch them? They're so proficient. Like, they'd have the machete and just... Like, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we should... take a road trip and go cherry picking. But we have to do that soon. We got EAA next week, so we're going to be busier than hell.
That'll be one of our Tuesday travels, I'm sure.
What will?
Our trip to EAA.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant cherry picking.
Oh, no. No, I'm not doing any cherry picking.
Are you really? No?
No. No.
Why not?
Why? What thrill is there in cherry picking? What?
We can. We'll do cherry picking. We'll pit them. And then we'll make something.
This sounds everybody, so good.
Oh, we'll pit them. Okay. So and we'll make something?
We'll make something.
You know what I would rather do is sit on a beach and listen to Meet the Press on my Spotify.
I'm with you.
You win. I'm there.
I'm 100%. I would rather sit in a lounge chair and watch Milton try to eat a guppy.
All right.
I would rather that.
Oh, my God.
I would rather that.
You know, I get to do all three of those things. I am a lucky.
When I grow up, I want to be Jim Schmidt.
Me too. I want to be a mayor someday, so I can have some really cool stuff.
This is what happens.
Wow. Things have changed.
I got to go to work.
All right. Todd, thank you for putting together a tremendous show.
This was good today.
Man, I look forward to watching your stuff. How can we see it again?
On Facebook, search for Mino and the Mayor.
Mino and the Mayor. Beautiful. Yep. Another big show coming up tomorrow.
Yep, great guests.
Great stuff going on. Thanks, everybody. Back in tomorrow morning. See ya.